cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
Friday night, 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
There are millions of small businesses in the UK, but in 2013, only 13,000 of them claimed back the cash that they were entitled to from the government. £46,000 on average, they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And we're joined in the studio now by the guys from the Kent Business School, and we're going to be introducing them to you shortly and talking about the next segment of our show, which is the Business Improvement and Growth section, BIG, Insights. Fantastic. Looking forward to it. We've got loads and loads of tweets and emails that we need to cover, so we're going to do a couple. I've had a tweet from Claire Reeves, and she says, "Hi, Vanilla Web. Can you give me a mention, please? I'm working hard in my voiceover studio, enabling businesses to reach their customers." She said, "Thanks. My new narration showreel, including my NatGeo TV, that's National Geographic, I guess, TV documentaries, are on my website now, which is ClaireReevesVoiceovers.com. That's ClaireReevesVoiceovers.com. VES voiceovers, all one word, ClaireReevesVoiceovers.com. So do have a check out of that. You can read an email, Jules.
The Mid-Kent College student has won X Factor Tour tickets. Rita Vince, who's an applied science student at Mid-Kent College, entered the Construction 186 Challenge following a visit she made to the Kent Construction Expo, which was at the Kent County Showground. And it was organised by Mid-Kent College. The trip was arranged at the end of last year for students interested in apprenticeships and careers in construction, and included a number of interactive workshops which were based on construction and engineering. And Cheryl Corsbrook, who's the business development manager at EPS, presented the prize to Rita Vince. So that's a lovely, lovely story there. Well done, Rita, for winning the X Factor Tour tickets.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done.
West Kent B2B is going to be opened by the Right Honourable Michael Fallon Friday the 27th of March at the River Centre Tonbridge, 9 to 4pm. It's a free conference and exhibition and a chance for business leaders and chief execs and directors to meet and network. And also there's a business breakfast, which is at 7.15 to 8.30, and it's free at West Kent. And the big priority is Have Your Say, and it's hosted by the West Kent Partnership. And all details of these will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website.
Not only that, the Kent Business Radio will be at the event.
Oh, yes.
Because we have a pop-up radio studio at the Tunbridge event, and we'll also be having a pop-up studio at the 2020 event in Detlin.
Yes.
In May, but we will be on March 27th at the B2B West Kent event with a pop-up studio of the Business Bunker, me and her.
Good job you reminded me.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you would have missed it.
What are we wearing?
Normal, micro speedos and a vest.
Oh, we're not going in our St. Patrick's Day gear then.
No, because it won't be St. Patrick's Day then, will it?
I don't know. Carry on the party. It's only a week. You know, the Irish are quite known for
I know you.
Little
it's
party.
It's got nothing to do with the Irish, it's you. It's someone that's already drunk two bottles of sherry today.
Oh, on the Superior Show.
Yeah.
It was a very nice sherry.
Epic Amnesty. Old laptops and notebooks are desperately needed for a new home. Please recycle your old machines with Epic and invest in a Kent child's future. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this, but not a lot, because Doreen Flies, who runs Epic, is going to be on a show in a couple of weeks' time, and she can give you a lot more detail about this. But to cut to the chase, Epic are an organisation that teach young children coding, and they tend to teach it via the vehicle of Minecraft. As an introduction, it's a fantastic project. It's all funded by Doreen and her husband Nick, and they fund the whole thing. They've taught hundreds and hundreds of kids in East Kent how to code, but they desperately need some more laptops and notebook computers because they're expanding the number of kids. So if you've got an old notebook or an old laptop and you'd like to donate it, please could you go to Epic, that's E-P-I-K, epic.org.uk. And also, there's an event that they're holding, which is what they need these for, in Margate. And you can find out about that event by going to meetup.com/epic-UK. Meetup.com/epic-UK. Both of those websites are on the Kent Business Radio website, so if you want to find out more, you can. And Doreen Flies, who runs Epic, will be on the show in a couple of weeks' time, and she will tell us more about what they're doing to encourage young people to go into the world of computer programming and coding. So thank you for that.
Look after your customers and increase your profits. Another interesting workshop is to be held at Maidstone Enterprise Centre, and the workshop is entitled Look After Your Customers and Increase Your Profits. It's being run by the Kent Adult Education and being held at Maidstone Enterprise Centre, as I just said.
You just said that.
I know, it's these silly press releases.
You said that twice.
I think they need to...
You repeated yourself.
I did. This workshop is due to be held...
Why is Ruth Connolly laughing, by the way? I just seen a tweet saying he's laughing at you. What have you done now?
At me?
Yeah.
No, I think it might be...
It can't be me, can it?
It might be a little picture I sent out of you.
Oh, you've possibly. Been doing that again,
yeah,
have you?
Possibly.
Okay.
This workshop is due to be held Thursday the 19th of March between 6 p.m. and 8 o'clock at night. For more information, go to the Kent Adult Education website... or indeed kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. I was going to have a sound effect, and my sound effect app's packed up.
Oh, your klaxon.
What you need to do is pass me one of those jars of Rift-sponsored jelly beans before the guys eat theirs, and I can use that, can't I?
You can.
I can rattle me jelly beans. How about that?
The sound effects, we just have to do the whole thing ourselves, boys.
Yeah, you can't get it. The technology's rubbish, isn't it?
We've got Toby Lindsay and Simon Rabbi?
Rabbi.
Rabbi. Everyone gets it wrong. Rabbi. In the studio with us, the boys on my left, flanking me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we could introduce them properly, actually, couldn't we, really?
I thought I did.
We use their their actual
Toby
names
Lindsay
rather than the ones you made
Simon
up.
Simon Raby.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jules. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show the guys from Kent Business School, as Jules just said. And we're going to be doing a series of programmes with them once a month on the research programmes that they've been working out. And we've entitled this segment of the show the BIG Insights segment. That's Business Improvement and Growth. And it's part of the project that they've been looking at for a long, long time now, understanding what makes SMEs or what adds to SMEs success from a strategic point of view. We have been tweeting out for the last few days a link which is available on the Business Bunker site on the blog, where you can download a copy of their mini booklet which highlights the 10 traits that they've identified. But we're going to talk about that in a moment with these guys. Why don't you guys set the scene for where we are, and we'll go from there. That's the easiest thing. And I'll invent some sound effects that we can use as we go along.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I suppose starting off introducing who we are might be a good thing a little
and
bit
getting
more.
Getting your name right and all that kind of stuff, you know, boring stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Jules.
Jules. What can you do with her, huh?
Call me Jules Gherkin.
Yeah.
Get your own back.
Yeah. I'm not that cool.
Yeah. Well, I've been calling her Jules O. Gherkin today, so...
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of myself and Toby, I mean, we, as you say, we come from the Kent Business School. Mm. We work for a specific applied research centre at the school, so the Centre for Employment, Competitiveness and Growth.
Wow.
And we, ECG, just think of your heart needing a pump.
Yeah. Hold on.
And, you know, what we do is we focus on doing some really good quality research with small and medium-sized enterprises and really understanding what drives their growth and performance. Mm. So that's what we aim to do. Perfect. And through that, develop understanding that we can then translate for the business owners and the business owner community to help them improve their organisations.
Absolutely.
And themselves.
Can you just give the listener a bit of background? How long has this program been in operation so far? And I know you're developing it all the time, and you know it's not there's not an end game, is there? You're not kind of going to get somewhere and then stop because you're still adding businesses to it and looking at businesses. But how long has the program been going?
We started it back in 2006, which was actually an EU-funded program, comparative. Right. So it worked with Nord-Pas-de-Calais, France, as well as Kent and Medway. Right. And it's been ongoing now since then. So we've run three phases of research. What does that mean? It means that we collect data through surveys, face-to-face interviews, and also detailed case study work. And we also do a lot of focus groups and workshops with the business owner community and their employees to really understand what's driving growth, basically, of their organisation.
Absolutely. And just whilst we're on that, because I noticed earlier, yeah, you tweeted out a link, and I've retweeted a link, and I will actually put it on the website later. There's a tweet with a link to a short survey that people can fill in.
Yeah, that's right. And we're you know, the more people who fill that in, the more we can actually learn about the subject and then take that from there and help people understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Toby now talking, listener.
Is it really?
I'm just letting listener know because they can't see, can they?
Well, take some photographs and then we would.
Well, I have. Did you tweet them out, boys, or not yet?
We have tweeted them.
Yeah, well, they're all out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Toby. So I tweeted out a couple of links earlier. We'll tweet out some more.
Brilliant.
And we'll also put the link on the same page where the download is later so that you can do that as well. So do fill out that survey. I had a quick look at it. It's not long or onerous or anything like that. It's a very straightforward survey. Do fill it out for us. Where it would be most useful for the guys to get some feedback on your business and what you're doing. So do have a look at that. And you can follow the guys on KBS _ Think Big, which is where all these tweets are coming from. Okay, let's kick off, guys. Tell us about BIG and where we are and what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, I mean, a key focus for us, I mean, as you said, Paul, this is about a series of shows. It's not just about today. Today is very much for us an introduction to the characteristics. So we thought a best way of doing that would be to run through each one of them very quickly. You can obviously challenge us as we go through it and duck in whenever you feel you want to and ask any questions.
But just on that, I mean, just so the listeners know what we're going to do, we're going to do an overview, as you say, today, and then once a month we're going to explore each of those characteristics in more depth and look at it in the round as a one-off thing. But for today, we're just going to give you a flavour of what they all are and have a bit of an argument about it, presumably.
Yes, brilliant. That's what we hope.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, chaps.
So, yeah, I mean, just a very brief background before we go into these 10 characteristics. These were characteristics that came out of this long-term research that we've been doing. And they basically provide indications of what success might look like for different organisations and different individuals. So there are, in many respects, they're almost lenses that you can take, put on a different pair of glasses, look into an organisation and analyse it from that perspective and try to therefore gain some new insights to the way that you are performing personally, organisationally, and how you want to take the business forward. So, so that's the way that we use them as a diagnostic a lot of the time with organisations.
Okay, can I clarify something there as well? And I think I'm right in saying this, but I may not be. My understanding is you're not saying you have to do all 10 of these to succeed in business.
No, not at all. I think what we're saying is these characteristics play out in successful businesses to greater or lesser degrees across the 10.
Yeah.
It's a useful way. I came into this work 2-3 years ago having had some success and failure in business. And I think beyond success and failure, there is growth and development.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the 10, you can say, oh, gosh, yeah, I did those things really well. I would do because I'm me. And gosh, I did that stuff really badly. Mm. And so it's allowing people to stretch their thinking and look at where they need to develop
And add. Okay, cool. Good.
Fantastic.
So let's start to look at some of these things.
Okay, so I mean, the first one, which we're going to play sort of process here between myself and Toby, so we'll explore them one by one. But the first one we're looking at is the enthusiast.
Right.
So the enthusiast is about having a passion for what it is that you do, and it's very simple and easy to say that and to almost ask the question, well, why wouldn't anyone have a passion for what it is that they do? But actually, this is about how you then translate that passion into reality, both within your organisation, but also broader than that, out to customers, suppliers. How do you engage people with what it is that you're doing and how it is that you're doing it?
Absolutely.
So, you know, how you therefore sustain that passion is really important as the business grows, as your role transitions and changes through the business, because, you know, you may start off in a very product service focused role, sales development, something that you really find enjoyable, maybe in innovation, product and process, but actually as the business grows, you may become more distant from that. So how do you actually embed that purpose and those values through the organisation as it develops?
Well, one of the things that interests me about that, and this is a personal view based on my own personal experience, in hindsight.
Okay. Someone once told me we needed better hindsight.
Absolutely. Yeah, it works perfectly. Hindsight is the best business tool ever. But for me, when you talk about enthusiasm, and I came across a quote in a slightly different context, which I like to use against this from my own personal perspective. I think a lot of people get confused by thinking they have to be enthusiastic about something that they then translate into a business. For me, that never happened for me as an entrepreneur. What happened was I did something, got enthused by it, and then carried on doing it because it was exciting. And I think too many people kind of expect it to happen for them straight away. We've got someone on the phone. Let's see if...
Just see if it's Diane Brown.
Yeah, it could be someone.
Could be Tony's mum.
Yeah, let's just see. Hi, you're on the Business Bunker Show. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the Business Bunker Show.
All right, sorry. No, I was just ringing up to check on something. Sorry about that. I know.
Okay, bye.
You know how to put our callers off, don't you?
Yeah, well, they should have just answered it out there, but anyway, whatever. You know, so many people think, I can't do anything until I've found a passion. And I'm just... From my own perspective, I think sometimes the passion grows as you try stuff. It's just,
I agree. I think what I was talking about, growth and development are things you can get passionate about, whatever it is that you're doing in terms of your business.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's enthusiasm. In general, can you give me a flavour of kind of what you mean by enthusiasm as well? Because I think we all think we know what that means.
I think the thing to note about all these words is they're just labels. Yeah. And these are labels that business owners themselves gave to these characteristics. So they're quite simplistic labels, but behind them is a hell of a lot of detail and depth to this research. So
obviously we cover that in future shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we could explore a lot of around this today, and it's already, you know, raising a lot of questions. And I think those are really important things that we would be wanting to bring into that future show.
And presumably some people have got different bits of these characteristics. So, you know, it wouldn't be just pure enthusiasts. Yeah. They might be a bit of the integrator as well.
Yeah. So this is what I think we ought to do for all of you listeners out there is what are your views on enthusiasm? What do you think it means? What enthused you when you started your business? Let's hear from you, not necessarily today, but over the next couple of weeks. You can tweet me in at VanillaWeb or tweet the guys at KBS_ThinkBig. And just give your feedback on that, and when we come to explore that trait in more depth, we can incorporate some of those thoughts and feelings. Yeah,
yeah. And if you could say something about how you keep enthusiasm going, that'd be really interesting.
Okay, okay, cool. Because that is something, isn't it? You can run it. I when I arrived at the studio this morning, I was feeling quite jaded, and I said to Jules, you know, I might stop doing this. I'm really fed up.
We were both a bit jaded, and we nearly packed a bag and went off to Bognor.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for a break.
Not together, I might add.
Just for a break.
Yeah. So do tweet us in over the coming weeks and tell us any of your ideas and thoughts about enthusiasm and what drives you and what makes you passionate about your businesses. Yeah, cool. Brilliant. Okay.
Go on to the next
one. Yeah, please, yeah.
Yeah, so the next one we call the transformer, and that's about managing change. That's about how what you did to get you to the first stage of your business isn't going to get you to the next stage and the next stage and the stage thereafter. I think a lot of people have heard the phrase busy fool, and if you continue with the operational role that you need to do to get a business going, usually, it can kind of drag you down, when actually what the business needs is a more strategic view. It needs someone to be looking at the external environment, anticipating shifts and changes in that environment, and getting involved in the management of people, leadership, things that when you start a business you think aren't that relevant. So when we talk about the transformer, it's the way that somebody recognizes that change is a constant, and that means changing not only how they practice and behave as an entrepreneur, but even who they are, and developing themselves to go beyond what it was that they started doing.
Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it, Paul? Because people hate change. Mm. Generally, a lot of people hate change.
A lot of people are resistant to change, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a tension there, which I think can be a dynamic tension. When you say, I want to achieve growth, there has to be a sense of, well, actually, what is it going to take for you as the leader of your business to achieve that growth?
Mm. Change is a really interesting concept, because most of us, in all walks of life, say we want things to change. I don't like this, I don't like that, you know, why do they do this, why does the government do that, why do people do this? So we seem to want to elicit change in almost every area of our life, and then when you ask someone to actually change themselves, you can face an awful lot of resistance if you're not careful.
You look at what Coca-Cola experienced when they changed the recipe. It was
absolutely
a total disaster, because people actually like things to be what they're expecting and how
absolutely
they are.
And what a lot of our research shows as well is about crisis and the impact of crisis, and that people, most people don't really make a change unless their arse is on fire. You know, something really,
absolutely,
really
yes,
challenging, yeah, that they have to face up to that challenge and actually do something about it.
Crisis is a great motivator.
Yes, absolutely.
And
that kind of moves into the next sort of characteristic, which is around the strategist.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does exactly what it says on the tin in many respects, that the strategist is about strategy. It is about actually developing that vision for your organisation for the future. What is it that you want to achieve? And how is it that you're actually going to get there? You know, what is the plan of attack? I think a lot of the research that we've done, a lot of the examples we've found, quite often there is a strategic plan somewhere, but it's not always executed. Mm. It's not always something that's been put into a roadmap that other people really understand what it is, where everyone's going, the journey that they're taking, and what their individual roles are within that process. So the execution piece is as important, if not the most important piece of strategy, as well as just creating the strategic agenda and vision.
Cool, yeah, absolutely. And also, I think, especially with very small businesses, strategy is not something that springs to mind. Most businesses start tactically. Funnily enough, we were talking to Tony Brown from Sport Packs before you guys came on the air. Mm. And interestingly, he's been talking about his new startup. Mm. And basically, in not the same language, everything he said is brilliant, almost a microcosm of what you've said in the same sequence. I had this great idea. I got really enthusiastic about it, realised I didn't know anything about what I was doing. Yeah. Had to learn and change and do loads of different stuff.
Yeah.
Tried loads of things, got half of it wrong, had to take a deep breath, sit down, think about what I was doing, which is kind of the process that you guys have been describing, or at least not necessarily the process, but the kind of elements that you have to think about.
That's right. And when you've got something going and you're established, if you respond to somebody saying, here's a deal, here's an offer, here's some business coming your way, you can find yourselves quite a long way from where you thought you were going to be or where you want to be.
Absolutely.
Because there are lots of choices. And we believe that strategy is about thinking about the big picture and then looking at every choice you're making as you go to see how it builds into that big picture.
Mm.
And creating the time for that, which brings us to the next one of the big 10, which is the delegator.
Right.
You simply can't do everything that needs to be done, which means you have to delegate. Very easy to say, but what we find through the research is that there is a very good delegation and not so good delegation. It's not as simple as saying, I gave them the job, I told them to go away and do it, and then I realised it wasn't being done. Mm. Actually, really good quality delegation needs to engage the people who you're delegating to, give them a real sense of what they're doing and why they're doing it, and give them some autonomy and the space to make mistakes whilst making sure they're not allowed to make critical mistakes.
Yeah. It is one of the hardest things to do.
For you, you're
No.
You don't like delegating.
No, absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely, 100% wrong. I'm a great delegator. I'm great. I mean, I do a lot of it. I'm not saying I'll do it well. I do a lot of delegation. And I learnt a long time ago to delegate. But I had to learn. And even having done it for a long time, I still have to be very conscious of how I behave to the delegated to.
Yes.
Because you delegate authority and you delegate responsibility is the way that you do it. But then as an entrepreneur, you've always got this, you don't want to do it like that, you want to do it like this. And no matter what, people will do things in their own way, from their own point of view. And it is very easy, because you wouldn't have done it that way, to step in and stop someone. And that is fatal from a delegation point of view, because they'll just go, well, why didn't you do it yourself? If you want to do it your way, do it yourself.
And you might be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember in the language school business, we had a physical sensation of forcing myself to walk out the door when I overheard a conversation, thinking, hang on, I'm going to step in here. Phone my business partner, said, I've just had to walk away. He said, well done, you're doing the right thing, keep at it. Well, the person who built up that service did it brilliantly, better than I ever could have done.
Absolutely.
But if I'd jumped in there, it would have undermined everything they were doing.
Absolutely. You know, it is, as you said, Toby, it is the one of the hardest skills ever, especially for an entrepreneur. It is, you know, with your baby and your passion for your business, and you don't want anybody to make a mess of it. But, you know, you have to look at yourself and go, hold on a minute. I didn't know anything about this when I started. I've learnt by the seat of my pants, and I've learnt by mistakes and all the rest of it. You've got to give people some leeway and a safety net. You go, try it, make some mistakes, but if you're really struggling, come to me and I'll help. Yeah. And I think for me, it's that setting the parameter that says, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but if you're struggling and you don't ask me to help, then I'm not going to be happy with you. Yeah, I don't want you to struggle with this. But, you know, it's tough. It is tough.
And the thing with these characteristics is they all interact together. So you can see, as you're speaking to that, a lot of things around the transformer that come into that, around how do people make those leadership transitions?
Yeah.
How is it that business owners and leaders, when they first start off, there's a need for control?
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of long hours, you know, working alone in the business.
Yeah.
And so actually opening that up and, you know, finding yourself with a team around you, how do you actually respond to that, and how do you deal with that? Because it has to be dealt with in a different way.
A case of letting go sometimes. And stepping back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, moving on to the next characteristic, the innovator. And a lot of the work that we looked at in terms of, you know, the difference between, say, the average performing firm compared to the better performing firm, the innovator was a really, really key one. Not just in the fact of bringing new innovations through, both in the product and service element, but also in the process side of things. So how you're delivering the products and service. It was also on the fact of how you're generating new revenue from that. So a lot of businesses were saying that they saw innovation really as a really important thing to them. They were making lots of innovations. They believed that they were really leading the way in their sector. But when you actually spoke to them about what's coming as a result of this, you know, of all this investment in time and money and resource that you're really putting into these things, and quite often they couldn't demonstrate that. They couldn't see how it was coming through to the bottom line. So actually, you know, translating that innovation to something that actually has an impact on the business, a bottom line impact, is something that's critical, but also in spreading the risk across new innovations, because, you know, having all eggs in one basket is something that a lot of small businesses would want to protect against. So that's a really important thing as well.
Absolutely. One of the interesting things about innovation, as you alluded to there, Simon, is there's innovation at all kinds of levels. When you talk about innovation, most people tend to think about product innovation or new scientific or technical breakthroughs, or, you know, redeveloping websites or whatever. But there's all kinds of ways you can innovate within a business, and it isn't necessarily, you know, as you say, it's with your processes, with your management structures, with how you go about planning your business. You can innovate in all kinds of areas.
Yeah, and you said within there, and I agree, and it's also without outside the boundaries of the business. The next one of the big 10 is the integrator, which says businesses that, particularly smaller businesses that do really well in terms of growth, are ones that start looking at their customers and their suppliers as potential strategic partners, not just people who provide the cash for them to pay the bills or provide the goods for them to deliver to their customers. So innovation, the integrator takes innovation across the boundaries of the business and starts to think about where are the potential strategic partnerships for me to succeed? How can I share the information I have about the area of the market that I know loads about with other players so that we can together develop strategically and achieve success?
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys have seen this in your research, and it may just be me looking at this, but I'd be fascinated to find out when we get to that in-depth look at this. One of the things that I think I've seen just recently about strategic alliances and partnerships and integration is a tendency sometimes to integrate with competitors as well. And it's something I've just seen, especially amongst smaller businesses, where businesses that are in the same business competing with each other actually collaborate because they can work together better than they can by competing with each other. And I don't know if that's anything that's come out very much in your research so far, but it's just something I kind of noticed just recently.
I think it's a really interesting thing to question and to raise and to look at and to understand more, because competition is healthy. Competition does drive new innovation. It does drive people to make a change and make a difference. And, you know, some would even argue that sometimes if it's not true competition, it can actually drive what we would call homogeneity. It makes organisations more similar if you don't compete enough. So if you were to look at the car industry as an example, you've found that most cars tend to look the same now.
Boring, boxy.
You know,
that they tick. The trouble is, though, they tick all the boxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, where you used to have the Alfa Romeo, clearly was that car. Yes, it used to break down, but I've got one sitting out the back.
Even the Cortina used to look better, or the Zephyr, or any of them, you know.
You know, they had a personality. There was something else. There was a character, as you say, Toby, that we fell in love with. And that's the reason why we have that product. And almost it's been over-engineered now to a certain extent. And the competition has led that everyone, what do you have beyond the kind of qualifying standards of that industry that actually set you apart? And that can be a really challenging thing.
Yeah,
collaborative competition is something we could get really into.
I think that's a fascinating area in the market. But there are these caveats, and you're absolutely right that, you know, we mustn't be too homogenised about what we do, because that's just boring.
So, I mean, moving on to the next one. So the next one's called the calculator. And basically what the calculator is around having the appreciation that you need a broad range of measures and data upon which to make decisions and base decisions on in your business. So quite often what we find with average performing organisations is they look at just the financial measures of the organisation. And those are measures that are lagging performance measures. They tell you what's happened in the past. They're not very good ways of looking at the future. So organisations that say, well, we plan for our future plan by looking at last year's budget and we add 3%, that's quite a challenging approach to take. So it's thinking about what are those other performance measures that are more future focused, around productivity, around customer satisfaction, around areas that are going to drive the performance in the future and pull that productivity and performance through. So that's a really area that we find really interesting, that it needs to be broader. And quite often organisations talk about the need of a dashboard, something that gives them this accurate information upon which to base these decisions.
Absolutely. It's interesting when you talk about looking at the statistical, the numbers around a business. Quite often, I heard what you said about, you know, some people only look at the kind of budgets. Do you know what? There's an awful lot of businesses don't even do that, unfortunately. And I was one of them in the early days, because as an entrepreneur, you know, it's just accounting. I don't care. You know, I just want some more customers.
What I was saying earlier about we have preferences, we have things that we're drawn to. So if we can use this to say, well, if I'm not going to do that, because I'm frankly bored to tears, someone's got to
do it. Absolutely. In my own businesses, as they progress, and I've learned the power of looking at things like that. First and foremost, I got very used to many years ago looking at my P&Ls and my balance sheet and all those kind of things. As you say, though, they're just a historical look at what you've done, not necessarily where you're going. But leading on from that, you then start to look at where do we go from this. And with the kind of businesses that I've got, which are mostly digital, we do have a lot of analytics as well that are kind of starting to predict trends and where we're going. And that's all cool. Many years ago, though, before I worked for myself and I worked in a big corporate, I had an interesting phenomenon. I was a middle manager in a division at a time when we went through an earlier recession many, many years ago. and the management of the bank came along and did what a lot of big corporates did, and they went, cut 20% off your budget. And I went, okay, what projects don't you want me to do? And they went, no. We want you to do all the projects. We just want you to cut 20% off your budget. And you look at it and you go, that's just ridiculous. But I came across a concept then, which I used, and I tried to get the other people to look at this, which is zero-based budgeting. Mm. Yeah, we start with a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way of moving forward, you know, because you get lazy, basically, that says, oh, you know, last year we spent so and so, we had 5% for inflation and 2% for a bit more extra, that'll be the budget for next year.
Yeah.
But you never go back and look, and without being too political about it, one of the problems that I've seen with our economy as a whole and the public sector is they never do anything like that. Year on year on year, we spend more and more money. We never go back and go, could we stop spending money somewhere and then reallocate the money in a more useful way somewhere else?
Exactly that. And you know, all we're talking about is resources and the fact that small and medium-sized enterprises have access to finite resources. You know, they are things they need to use really strategically, you know, need to think long and hard about how they do that. So therefore, how they release those funds in the business and what they choose to spend them on, it is a really important thing.
So and it's not just financial resources either, is it? It's manpower and all kinds of things. And you know, as you say quite rightly, Simon, you know, in a small business especially, it's very limited resources.
There's lots of tools running my business I want to get, and they're often like $29 a month, and you know, they all mount up. You know, something's $6, something's $29, something's $100, and they're all good, but it can go on forever.
That's nice for the next one, which is the systematizer, which is talking about those kinds of tools, the things, the systems that we can put in place into business to help. And what's really important is that they are appropriate. So I've worked with businesses where their new CRM management system actually takes them longer to put the data into than it gives them the value of getting the data out and doing anything useful with it. So it's all, you know, I think it, very often we say we're growing now, we need to put systems in place. That's absolutely right, and absolutely you should be thinking, what are the right systems to put in place?
Absolutely.
How do they add value? How do they create efficiency? How do they work for us? And if they are just adding a layer of bureaucracy, take them out. However, as the business gets bigger, as you seek better data about what's going on and better management, you do need systems in place. So the systematizer is one of the big ten.
Absolutely. So we just had a couple of tweets in on that from the lovely Sam Kelly, who's a TV presenter on Irish TV over there.
Oh, great.
And Sam was saying, great. She was talking about collaboration that we were talking about just now. But she was also saying, I hate accounts. No, I know what you mean, Sam.
But of course, we have Rift accounting, so we don't have to
absolutely,
worry.
And Samantha uses a cloud-based accounting system called Big Red Cloud. But she was saying, as an entrepreneur herself, you know, it's one of the things she struggled with, and a lot of us do up front. But we have to take it on board and get to grips with it.
No, definitely that, you know, and really thinking about what you pay attention to, what you pay less attention to, and the choices you have about that.
Absolutely.
But leading on from the systemizer, I mean, one of the key characteristics as well, the last but one, is called the engager. And it's important to think within the organisation how you're engaging others within where it is that you want to go, what it is that you want to achieve. So, this isn't just employees, so quite often as an organisation we may think it has a boundary, but this could also be customers and suppliers, but really engaging those people, involving them in what the business does, understanding the skills and knowledge and abilities of those individuals, where that lies, you know, what is the capability that we actually have, what is the capability that we need to build in the future.
Absolutely.
And how do we motivate all that.
And it's also about spotting the potential to develop as well, which a lot of people don't even know they've got in themselves, if you see what I mean. So, you know, you've got people that work for you, and sometimes it's possible to see in someone, do you know what, you know, with the right training, with the right support, with the right motivation, you could do something here that they may not have even seen for themselves.
And that potential to develop it brings us on to the final one, which we call the sponge, which is about being engaged in continuous learning, acknowledging that, you know, we do all have potential in ourselves, and others have potential to go beyond what we've done already, so that you know, the process of success and failure actually in business is a process of growth and development, which stretches us, allows us to do things we couldn't do before. Mm. And bringing that into the organisation and saying, what did we do? Did we do it well? How could we do it different? How can we learn from that? And making that a business process of continuous learning is something that sits alongside those other 10 as part of the lenses into sustainable success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I'm really excited about this, guys.
Brilliant.
That's an overview of the Big Ten from the guys at the University of Kent Business School. As we said, we're going to be exploring each of these characteristics in more depth once a month as part of the BIG Insights section on the Business Bunker Show. Do tweet us in at any time. You don't have to wait until they're ready to come on again. Do tweet us in any insights that you have out there as business people, whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you have a different view on it, or whether you've got examples of how some of these things have helped you build your business. We'd love to hear from you. And you can tweet me at VanillaWeb, or you can tweet the guys at KBS_ThinkBig. So do keep those tweets coming in. On the Kent Business Radio website, on the blog pages, there is a link where you can download a downloadable copy of the Big Ten mini booklet, which lists these 10 characteristics. So you can do go and download that, have a look at it. It's a PDF, so it's nice and easy to read, and do check out on that some more. We will also later on load a link to the survey that I alluded to earlier. Please do fill that in for the guys. It's really useful. You know, all of this research can only come if we help.
And everyone who does the survey will be inviting on to workshops to explore and unpack this further face to face.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, that's there.
Yeah, and it's really worthwhile because they do some great lunches up there. Yeah. Oh, there's other reasons too, but you know.
And we'll also be sending out free copies, hard copies of that mini booklet as well. So anybody that tweets in there, I don't know how you'd want to run that, Paul, but anyone that tweets in their email address, we can obviously make contact with them.
Absolutely.
And send out the hard
copies. So there you go. If you want a physical copy of the mini booklet as well, just give me a tweet and ask for a physical copy of the booklet. Just say, give me a copy of the booklet. We'll make contact and we'll get that sent to you with no problem at all. Guys, thank you so much for coming along and starting the process off with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm really excited to explore this over the coming months, and I think it's going to generate a lot of interest and a lot of debate and feedback and all kinds of things, which is brilliant. For the moment, give us a shout for any websites you've got. We have got links to them, but just give them a shout out anyway.
Brilliant. Thanks ever so much. It's been a real pleasure to come along, and yeah, like you, really excited about the conversation.
Absolutely. There's two websites that we've linked to on the homepage, which is, let me get this right, under Simon's name, we linked him, because I just picked them at random as links, we linked him to the research pages at the Kent Business School for the Centre for Employment, Competitiveness and Growth. So if you click on Simon's name on the front page, it'll take you to that website. If you click on Toby's name, it takes you to the SME page of the Kent Business School. Do you have any other websites that you need us to link to at this moment?
No, I mean, they're the main ones. The research project that we run is called Promoting Sustainable Performance. So within the Research Centre page that you've alluded to, Paul, you can gain access to that project, and that's where you can take the survey as well. So we'll obviously draw that link out for listeners so that they can gain easy access to it. But if you wanted to have a dig around and a snoop around and just look at what the project's about and those sorts of things, then you can obviously find that information from the website.
Fabulous. And you can follow the guys on Twitter, as I said, at KBS underscore think big. Guys, thank you so much. We look forward to your next visit to us, when we're going to start off by talking presumably about the enthusiast.
That's yes. Right, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice one.
Brilliant.
Enthusiastically looking forward.
Absolutely.
It'll
be fantastic.
Fantastic. Toby Lindsay and Dr. Simon Raby, thank you so much. And we look forward to welcoming you back in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jules.
We do. Yes, we shall welcome you back enthusiastically.
We will indeed.
Did you know that Hamish Jack, he's a Kent, a trustee of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, that's the KDCS, this April will be running the London Marathon to raise funds for the charity. His daughter, Catherine, is deaf, and so this is how his association with KDCS came about. And he says that Catherine has never let deafness prevent her from doing anything she has wanted to do, and she's now studying engineering at Coventry. And she's a great inspiration to his family, and they're very proud of her, he says. So it's a self-funding group, KDCS. And if you'd like to donate to this great charity and help Hamish Jack on his marathon bid, you can go to virginmoneygiving.com/HamishJack. And if you want to look at the website, it's kdcs.org for events and things that are going on at the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
Fantastic. We're fast running out of time here, I'm afraid, and we've got oodles of emails and tweets and all kinds of things coming in. So we're kind of rushing as we normally are. I just want to make an announcement about this. Maidstone Roller Hockey Club are proud to announce that Kent-based RAP Interiors are its new club sponsors. The club, which is based at the YMCA in Lewes near Maidstone, produces some of the country's best players and regularly competes and wins at the highest level. The sponsorship deal runs from the 1st of March 2015 and is for 2 years. And Julie Anderson, the lovely Julie, director and founder of RAP Interiors, said, "We are excited about supporting Maidstone Roller Hockey Club. The club has big ambitions to grow their members, particularly the youth section, and we are passionate about supporting projects that engage with young people, so this is a natural fit for us." So big well done to Maidstone Roller Hockey Club for securing 2 years' worth of sponsorship from the lovely folks, Julie and Rick Anderson at RAP Interiors.
There are some up-and-coming events coming up, so up-and-coming even.
Are they up-and-coming? Are they coming up at all? They are coming up and coming.
The Best of Kent Shows is free conferences and exhibitions. You've got the West Kent B2B, which is the 27th of March at the River Centre in Tunbridge. And also the 7th of July, the Kent B2B at Ashford International. North Kent B2B, that's the 15th of October at Motorsport Vision in Brands Hatch. You're supposed to go meow when I say
Yeah, sorry, but well, me app's packed up with me sound effects on, otherwise I would have done a meow.
And then the East Kent B2B on the 4th of November, so that's the diary date, and that's at Discovery Park Sandwich. Also, of course, the famous Construction Expo and Manufacturing and Electronics Expo, which is the 7th of October, and that's at the Kent Event Centre near Maidstone. If you want to get involved with any of those, contact Carol Black, Kent Invicta Chamber Events. There's you can give her a tinkle on 01-732-758-530.
Cool. We had a tweet from Liz Gilson as well, over there in Maryland.
Oh, yeah, she's still been listening.
Yeah, no, but she's interesting, talking about what the guys were talking about. She said, "There must be a proper way to zero-based budget. Because years ago in the hospital I worked in, they decreed that we had to do it as nurses, and it was a disaster." Yeah, absolutely. There's always a good way to do things and a bad way to do things. Just doing things doesn't necessarily achieve anything. You've got to get it right, or, you know, make some differences with it. Absolutely. Maybe that's something we can talk about, you know, how people go about the budgeting process and their experiences with it. So if you've got any experiences of zero-based budgeting done the correct way, maybe you'd let us know. Tweet us in. I've also had a tweet from the lovely Steve Trim and folks at Venom Tech.
Says, oh, yeah.
"Hi, Paul. Please, can you give us a shout-out on the Bunker show this week, as there's lots of exciting stuff going on. Venom Tech is celebrating its fifth birthday last Monday on the 16th of March, and they've tweeted photos of the cake lovingly made by Steve, which was good. And he says, we're also expanding into the skincare and cosmetic market."
There you are. That's just what you needed.
Yeah.
A little bit of venom, spider venom.
A little bit of snake venom in your face.
Yeah. That'll puff you up, won't it?
That will tighten it all up,
won't
it?
You could look like Madonna if you're not careful.
Really?
Not that way.
Oh, I see. And this is the last week that you can invest in Venom Tech, either through Syndicate Room or directly with us for an EIS tax-efficient return. So far, we've achieved 73% of uptake, and they've raised £256,937. But this will hopefully change by today, Tuesday. If you would like to invest in Venom Tech, and I would strongly suggest that you do...
How much do you need? Can you start off at a level?
Just a pound.
Is it a pound?
Just
a pound.
Pound
for a little primate's toenail.
To you, love. It's not 50p. It's not a pound. No, I don't know. You can go to the website and find out.
You could sponsor the primate's toenail.
You could indeed.
Or his foot.
Yeah. You can go to Syndicate Room Venomtech.com, which is where they are raising the funds, mm-hmm. /Venomtech. Or as Steve quite rightly says in his email here, you can go to their website, which is Venomtech, T-E-C-H, Venomtech.co.uk.
Quite exciting.
It is very exciting. I wouldn't mind doing that. A fabulous company, and they're doing loads of good stuff. They've moved recently to Discovery Path over in Sandwich.
Kent Invicta Chamber have a managing training interventions. It's Wednesday the 18th of March, so that's manana, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Ashford. It's 10 to 12. It's free to attend. And this session explores how organisations can ensure soft skills to produce hard results through learning that produces improved performance and behaviour change. You can go on to www.kentinvictorchamber.co.uk to find out all about it. But it's about meeting new contacts and generating business leads as well, and meeting like-minded business people.
Fantastic, thank you. I just want to tell you about a couple of events coming up by our lead sponsors, the Federation of Small Business. On the 25th of March, they've got a Small Business Hustings in line with the up-and-coming election, and that's in Dover and Deal from 6 to 8pm. And then on the 31st of March, they have a hustings in Rochester and Strood at 6 to 8pm. If you go into the Kent Business Radio website, on the home page is a thing called Business News Headlines. If you click on that, that has a link to where you can find out all the details about those two hustings meetings and where you can book your free ticket. But it is your chance as a small business owner to go along and question prospective parliamentary candidates about their views on small business. On the 21st of April, there's a how and why of taking on an apprentice, and that's taking place at West Kent College. And you can find out all about these events by going to fsb.org.uk/Kent and Medway. So do get along to some of those. We've kind of got to the end of the show, really. We're just about there. I'd just like to say a huge, huge thank you to all of our guests on today's show. Writer and author, late of Dublin, now of Maidstone, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, the lovely, gorgeous Miriam McGurk. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We were also joined by new entrepreneur, Tony Brown of Sport Packs, with his Sport Pack waving it through the window there.
And Diane Brown, his mum.
And Diane Brown made a guest appearance on the phone to ask us how to listen in, which was great, and always welcome. And also to the lovely guys from the Kent Business School, Dr. Simon Raby and Toby Lindsay. Thank you all so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Coming up over the next couple of weeks and days and today, we've got lots of different things happening, and I just want to tell you about a few things that we've got happening on Channel Radio. We've got a new play that is debuting this Sunday at 2 o'clock, 22nd of March.
What's the play called?
It's called Consequences, and it was written by Nigel Banks, our in-house playwright, and that is broadcast 2pm during Arts Hour this Sunday. Tonight at 11pm, we have Club Culture show with the fabulous Mr. Boy George.
Really enjoyed that.
So do listen into that.
Is that a new show that he played on Friday?
It's the repeat of the Friday show.
It was fantastic. You've got to listen.
The show is on Fridays and Tuesdays and every week, presented by Mr. Boy George. Fabulous show. Do listen to that. Coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today, at 3 o'clock, we have Pete Dick with the Beatles and Beyond. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite with his stripy socks, Mr. Craig Avery. At 7 o'clock, we have Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands. The boys down the pub will be back on air. Jonathan and Philly's back this week. And then at 9 o'clock, 18 hand-picked new music tracks specifically selected for your listening enjoyment by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. And that's followed at 11pm by Boy George with Club Culture Show. Do stay tuned to Channel Radio. You